It's over. The BRICS just broke the US dollar. Now the BRICS nations, they just met last week. It was a major signal in the direction of the world and the future of the dollar and the financial system as we know it. Now many people online were saying that it was sort of a big deal about nothing. And I think they're missing what really happened because it was big if you know exactly what you are watching for and what to look for. So of course, in this video, I'm gonna break down what almost everyone is missing. I'm gonna show what this massive shift in the world is that just happened, what this means for the dollar, for goods, for services, for inflation, what it means for you and your future. I'm gonna break down how big of an opportunity this is as it all unfolds and more. So let's go. All right, welcome to the channel. If you're new, my name is Mark Moss. I make these videos to change the way you think about money because almost everything you learned is wrong and almost everything they teach you is wrong. And if you're looking to the news headlines to understand what's going on, well, that's wrong too. So while everybody's talking about the BRICS summit, how big of a deal it was, some people are saying it was a big deal about nothing. And like I said, I think they're wrong. So I'm gonna break this down for you. Now, I wanna let you know that in times like this, when there's massive global shifts happening, it's dangerous. Fortunes are lost, fortunes are made, and there's opportunity inside every one of these big problems that are presented. I'm gonna do one of my offline presentations where I'm gonna break down all the charts of this. I wanna show you exactly what happened the last time it happened, how this worked. I wanna show you the charts, the graphs, pull out all the data, and then we'll do live Q&A so I can break this down to you, and I'll show you what I'm doing and I think what the real opportunities are as these currency wars escalate. It's gonna be pretty crazy. So if you wanna join me, it's free, come hang out. I'll show you all the charts, we'll do a live Q&A. There's a link down in the description below. There's a QR code up on the screen as well if you wanna come hang out. Okay, so jumping into this BRICS summit, what the heck happened? Well, I'm not gonna go deep into the BRICS. If you don't know by now, you don't know, but it's a large coalition of countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and now they're recruiting more countries. As a matter of fact, 67 countries were invited to attend. 20 of them expressed interest in joining. Now, there was six countries, the big six countries that were invited to join, and these countries represent a massive global power shift. Saudi Arabia, Iran, Argentina. We're gonna break down that a little bit more in a minute. The important thing is that I think a lot of people were missing how important this meeting was because of the hype that had led into this. So a lot of people thought that the BRICS were going to announce a new gold-backed currency at this event, and that didn't happen. Now, I wasn't disappointed because they said before the event that they were not going to do that. So a lot of people thought they were. I had talked about it in the past as well. They said they're not gonna do that. So that's why people called it a nothing burger, but it is far from a nothing burger. Some of the things that I think were really important before we get into the details of it is that the rhetoric that happened there. There was a lot of encouragement by the leadership of the BRICS for each of these nations to start doing trade in their own currencies, or in other words, moving away from the dollar. We've been hearing about this de-dollarization trend for a long time, and this was an extension of that. They're encouraging nations to trade in their own currencies. We saw President Xi from China, arguably the most powerful member of the BRICS nations, encouraging people, saying that they wanted to rival the G7. The G7 is the big seven countries, the largest seven countries in the world. Of course, the United States being one of those. And they want to rival that. However, there were some mixed wording in there, and this is what leads people to think it's a nothing burger. And some of that is that while Xi is saying, hey, we need to rival, we need to challenge the G7, other members were saying, well, we don't want to displace the US. This is not against the US. This is just, we want to have a voice. And so there was some dissent there. Part of the reason why people think why it wasn't a big deal is one, because they don't understand timeframes. Now, you hear me say this all the time. Whenever you hear two people explaining why they think bonds are good or bad, stocks are good or bad, bear market, bull market, is always understand over what time frame. And so if you were looking at this event as a tradable event, what do I go buy right now? Well, then maybe it's sort of a nothing burger because there isn't really anything to do right now. And so because of the time frames, I think people are missing it, but I think they're missing it and they're wrong. I'll explain in a minute. The second reason why I think this is deemed to be not a big deal is because, like I said, the rhetoric coming out of it was like Xi saying, hey, let's go challenge, let's rival the G7. Other nations are like, whoa, we don't want to do that. How do you get all of these nations to agree? It's a big problem. It's a big problem that I don't think there's a good solution for. For example, Russia, arguably the second largest member of the BRICS nations, President Putin there, he wasn't able to attend the event in South Africa because they said they would arrest him because of the war. So if the leader of arguably the second largest nation couldn't even go to the country to attend, that shows that there's not a lot of cooperation there. And so because of those things, it looks like it could not work. Now, I will say that as an individualist, we are all individuals to pursue our own ideals. However, when our ideals align, we work together. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so while they may not agree on a lot of things, there are certain things they do agree on, like having their voice heard, having their economic power brought back, and not having the US dollar weaponized against them. Now, let me explain why I think this is a really big deal. A couple things. One, as I said, it's not a tradable event, but it shows the direction of the world that we're going into. I'm going to break this down for you in a second. Two, because the BRICS coalition as they are today, as well as the six new states, they are a very formidable force. And also, it's a big deal because where they want to go into competition instead of being cooperative. So we've been in a period of global economic trade. It's cooperative. We've all been working together to rise up and help each other out. But now going into competition, that's a big deal. And then finally, fourth, this is a matter of controlling global energy. It's a really big deal. I'm going to break that down. So let's go ahead and let's just jump in and let's break each one of these down one by one. All right, so digging into more about why this is a big deal, let's start with directionality. All right, so as investors, using the way too often used cliche, skating to where the puck is going to be. That means that we want to understand where things are going and position ourselves accordingly. I mean, unless you want to be a day trader, which they all lose money, so don't do that. So we want to know what the directionality is. And so what this is showing us, that globalization, not globalism, but globalization as in global trade, as in the entire world trading back and forth, like the iPhone has parts from six continents. Like most food from your grocery store comes from around the world. That type of global trade. What we can see when we're looking back through hundreds of years of data is that there's been two big waves of globalization. What we can see from the chart that we have up on the screen is that we had about less than 10% of global participation in globalization trade up until about the 1800s. At that point, technology had advanced it and opened it up, and we saw an explosion into the first wave of globalization. That increased the trade across the globe, gave us more options, lowered prices, and gave the whole world more abundance. But then what happened is World War I put an end to that. No longer did they want to cooperate and trade between themselves, and we saw a rise of nationalism where each nation was out for themselves and didn't want to trade anymore. And as you can see from the chart on the screen, globalization plummeted during that time. Now, after World War II, when there was peace in the globe again, then we saw globalization start to grow again. But as you can see from the chart, it took 60 years just to get from peak to catch back up to where we were. And this is showing the same thing. We see the rise of the BRICS wants to be competitive and not cooperative. If it plays out as it's projected to be, will be an end of globalization as we know it today, which means higher prices, which means less goods and services in the world as we know it, just like it's happened in the past. Now, another reason why this is a really big deal is because the BRICS nations aren't just some emerging markets. They're not just some small, poor countries. They're the ones that produce the actual goods, like the commodities that we need. Now, when we look at the size of their economies as measured by GDP, gross domestic product, and we want to measure it or we want to adjust it by what's called PPP, or purchasing power parity, which basically shows what a basket of goods would cost in one country compared to another. So when we look at it that way, we can see in 1992, the BRICS nations made up only 16.5% of GDP compared to the G7, which was 45, almost 46%. 10 years later, in 2002, it had gone from 16 to almost 20% for the BRICS, and the G7 went from 46 down to 42. 2012, another decade later, the BRICS continued to rise, this time from 19% to 28%, while the G7 went down from 42 to 32. And a decade later, 2022, the BRICS is now 30.7%, or basically taken over for the G7, 30% and about 30%. And it's predicted that by 2028, the BRICS will be over 50% of GDP, while the G7 will continue to fall to only 28%. Now, this is a big deal. We can also see that shares of the global GDP growth, the BRICS from 2012 to 2022 was only 16% for BRICS, while the G7 had 14%. So we can see that the BRICS are growing much faster, and as far as population goes, that's a whole other story. The BRICS have 3.24 billion people, taking 40% of the global population, while the G7 has just 0.8 billion and only 10% of the global population. Now, another reason why this is a really big deal is because of the coordinated de-dollarization that's happening. Now, de-dollarization, the term of getting off of the dollar standard, it's been going on for a long time. Russia started its de-dollarization back in 2013. China really kind of got officially involved in 2018. Now, what we can see from SWIFT data, SWIFT, of course, is the system that moves money around the world, is that the dollar is still 46% of all transactions. But that's what we can see from SWIFT. The whole point of what the BRICS is doing is to get around SWIFT and use it outside of SWIFT. So while the numbers, again, everything you've learned is wrong, what they're showing you is that 46% of transactions are still done in dollars, and that's a record. It's wrong, because the whole point is going around SWIFT. We can also see that oil has been priced in dollars. That's part of the petrodollar agreement from 1974. But we can already see that large amounts of trade in oil is happening in yuan. We can see that Russia and Saudi are the largest producers of oil. And we can see China and India are the largest buyers. And both China and India are now buying in their own currencies. As I said earlier, the BRICS are actually encouraging each nation to start trading outside of dollars. So this is a coordinated de-dollarization. I don't want to call it an attack, but they definitely want to get away from it. They saw what happened to Russia when they were dependent on it. They see what happens to other nations that get sanctions slapped on them all the times, and they want to get away from this. Now, Putin has come out and said that this is, quote, irreversible. Once they move away from the dollar, they don't go back. Now, we can see that the US dollars represent about 58% of total global reserves. This is countries that are storing their money in there, but that's down from 73% in 2001. Now, while all of these nations certainly want to de-dollarize, and the BRICS is encouraging people to trade outside of the dollar in their own currencies, it's important to note that their currencies are crashing against the dollar. As a matter of fact, in just the last 10 years, the Argentine peso is down 98%. Now, if you're in Argentina, you probably would have rather been holding dollars than the peso. The Egyptian pound is down 78%. Indian rupee, one of the major players in the BRICS basket, is down 35%. Ethiopian birr, down 68%. Brazilian real, down 55%. And even the big boss, China, the most powerful player in the BRICS coalition, their Chinese yuan is down 14% to the dollar. All right, now finally, why this is such a big deal that most people are missing, because they don't look over the long term and they don't see the power of this coordinated trading block. If we want to go to Chuck E. Cheese, then I have to use their Chuck E. Cheese token to play the game. But if I don't want to go to Chuck E. Cheese, then I don't need their tokens. And so the tokens are only useful if I need them to get something from that I want. And so if you have all these little independent countries, if I don't need anything from them, then it doesn't really matter. But as they become coordinated as a trading block, they build a lot of power. Now, all we have to do is look back in history to see the last time this happened and see what happened because of that. So we go back about 23 years to the creation of the European Union, the EU, and they launched the trading block with their own currency, which of course is the euro. Now, 2 decades ago when this was happening, there was all kinds of headlines that we'd see from the Wall Street Journal and other big publications saying that it was no big deal. They said the US isn't expected to feel any big impact from this. But we did. As a matter of fact, the dollar lost 45% of its value after the launch of the euro. And now today, the euro takes up a huge share of the dollar's trade volume, reserve volume, and more. And so, as the BRICS become a coordinated trading bloc, potentially maybe launching their own currency at some point, we could expect maybe about the same thing to happen. All right, so now you have an idea why this is such a big deal, even though it might take a little bit longer than you want. Now, there's more to dig into specifically when we talk about challenging the US dollar supremacy. There's two pieces of that, it's twofold. There's the US dollar as a reserve currency, and there's US dollar as a reserve asset. I want to break that down for you, but I'm going to do another video if you want. Let me know what you think in the comments down below if you want me to break that down. If you want, leave me a comment down below and let me know if you want me to make that video and explain what this really means and what I think can happen over the next 5 to 10, 10 to 20 years and so forth. It's really something like gradually then suddenly. It seems gradually, And then it happens all of a sudden. All of a sudden, the US dollar strength as it's going down, 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 but then boom, a big drop hits, sort of like when the euro was announced and the US dollar lost about 45% of its purchasing power. That can happen again. Now, like I said, big problems equal big opportunities, and I think this is setting up a massive opportunity, the global currency markets. This is gonna be a currency war. This is what it's all about, and there's ways that we can set ourselves up to benefit from this. I'm gonna have a presentation we'll do. There's a link down below if you wanna come hang out. It's all for free. I got a whole bunch of charts and graphs. We'll go through history and I'll show you what I think is going to happen. I'll open up for live Q&A and I'll show you ways that you can take advantage of this massive move in these currency markets as this currency war takes off. And finally, I want to let you know that because we're in currency wars, you have to learn to stop looking at everything as measured in currency. If you're looking at and measured as the US dollars, you know, account, knowing that the dollar is manipulated, or Chinese yuan, knowing that it's manipulated, you don't see the right picture. So I'm starting to look at all my charts, but looking at them priced in commodities. And so I'm dividing my charts by commodities, the CRB index. I'm also looking at them in relation to the money supply, M2, the money supply growth. And now we're starting to see more unmanipulated data. I'll break all that down if you want another video. Also, come hang out with me live if you want to see how to get this done. I'll show you how to do your charts this way, answer all your questions, and show you the opportunities that are there. There's a link down below. That's what I got. As always, leave me comments and let me know what you think. Is this a big nothing burger like media made it out to be? Or do you agree with me that this is a really big deal just over a longer time period? As always, give me a thumbs up if you like the video. If you don't, that's okay. You can give me a thumbs down, but at least leave me a comment and tell me why. Subscribe if you're not already subscribed. And that's what I got. To your success. I'm out.